Watch the Super Bowl. Uh-oh. Man, I hate that. I think it's working, too. Yeah, it's working. I'm good. Hey. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl tonight, this afternoon, whenever. I'm sick of this is going to take a little while.
Go ahead and kill that, y'all.
No.
Oh, you're going to break that. Don't pull that part through and through the shirt. You'll break the whole thing.
That's the most expensive part.
I just didn't want to tear it up.
Yeah, we're not going to tear it up.
No, I'm not eating chili. I've had so much chili yesterday for a year. I do it every year. I go to every one of them. I didn't make all of them this year. I got to one, and it was like chili. There were some of them that you take them. It was just beer. I guess they sat out there, and they were drinking beer, and they were making chili. So I just, that's just a chili pile of beer, you know. And got that beer taste on it. And then I got to one, and tasted like chili candy. It was so sweet. That's when I said, that's enough. It was bad. There was some good chili over there. But anyway, you know, there's we know we are a very knowledgeable group here. So we know that there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel simply means an eyewitness account of what Jesus did. That's all it is. In layman's terms, that's all that it is, an eyewitness account of what Jesus did. But there's very few of the eyewitness accounts of what happened with Jesus that are mentioned in all, that are mentioned in two Gospels. If they're mentioned in it once, it's true. Then don't worry. I mean, it's that's all good. But if it's mentioned two, there's something you need to look at. Something serious is in there. But if it's in there three times, you better go over it and over it and over it and over it, right? The story of the rich young ruler. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to be in Mark, the 10th chapter. John was all worried about loving those people.
That's
right. It's all John, you know. But if you look at all three of them, it's like they all got together and said, all right, the rich young ruler, we're going to word this exactly the same in all of our Gospels. I mean, because there's only one thing that's different. I mean, they all are all identical. The greeting, where does it begin? We got it up here? Mark 10? On all three accounts, he greeted him the same way. Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Go to the next one. So Jesus told him, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. Basically. The exact same words in all three right there. He greeted him and he said, good teacher. All three times. And Jesus responded the same way in all of them. No one is good but God. Said, so then he asked him, he said, so why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. Good teacher. Why do you call me good? No one's good but God. Why would that be in there? the exact same way three times. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what the name of this message is. And it's going to make absolutely no sense to you at this point, but it will at the end. So I'm going to tell you. The name of this message is Live a Life of Significance. In other words, make your mark on the world. Leave this world better than you found it. Do something extraordinary. Don't do things ordinary. That's what this is about. And I want to remind you that this guy is mentioned three times of the four, and we still don't know his name. Why? Because he didn't do anything of significance in the Bible other than stand in front of Jesus and not recognize him. He thought he was a good teacher. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but if I stood before Jesus, I would know him. I would know him. I would recognize him as being the Son of the Most High God. Now, let's read the rest of it. Oh, yeah. So Jesus said, well, I'm going to find out something about this, and I'm going to watch these guys that are watching, I'm going to explain to them what the problem is with this guy. He said, do you know the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not, don't honor your mother and father. Next. He said, honor your mother and father, okay? And he answered, he said, teacher again. Not Messiah. Teacher. All these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, this is the reason I use this one is because this is the only time that this is in here. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. That's the only thing different in these two, in the three. Looking at him, loved him. So that's why I think John was telling Mark to put that in. So he said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. All three accounts say that there is a lack in this man's life. But there's only one account, and in two of them it said Jesus says, one thing you lack. But in Matthew, the young man asked Jesus, what do I still lack? So both of them knew that they lacked that he lacked something. Are you following me? They both knew that he lacked something. He asked in one, and the other two, you know, and that's just, if you don't understand why there are things different in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I'll tell you why. It's called a cultural gospel. They were written to four different groups of people about the same events. So they're presented differently. They're perceived differently. But they're all truth. But anyway, does anybody not know that? Sure, we got the knowledgeable group today. Anyway. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. I think that in all three, he called Jesus a good teacher. Now that's significant to me. We're all taught that the man's money and not being able to give it up was the reason for its downfall, but it's not. I believe this rich young ruler, which by Jesus' account and his account, he said, good teacher. And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. He was trying to give him a chance to say, no one is good but God, and you're standing in front of me and you don't recognize his son. Yeah, okay. He was trying to get him to realize it. Then he said, have you kept the commandments? This is a young ruler. This is not a boy. This is a young ruler. That's what they call it. Rich young ruler. He was a young man that had tons of business. All right? And this rich young ruler said this. He said, I've kept all of the commandments from my youth. Now, do you think that he did that all by himself? No. I think that he had church going, God fearing parents that kept him in church. Or why would he not? Why would he keep all of the commandments from his youth? But because he had been raised in a church, and he'd been raised in a home of where you go to church, and you listen to what the high priest has to say. But he was also Jewish as well, and he was business-minded, or he wouldn't be a ruler. He wouldn't be rich. So this is just my opinion. Everybody's got one. You know, everybody's got an opinion on something. But from what was said in this conversation by all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I have come up with this idea, I guess you'll say. I believe this young man was a guy that had an experience with God and that loved God, but he couldn't recognize God's Son. Okay? Because he was the type of guy that whose parents took him to church, went home, and then they started talking about business. And business was the way things was every day of their life except for that time when they went to church. If it wasn't, he wouldn't have kept all of his commandments and then not been able to. And then went up and Jesus said, you got something lacking. Or he said, I lack something. What is it? What you lack is vision because you can't see what's before you. Well, that's one of the things you lack. Are you following? He didn't do anything with what he had. He had more than all of the other disciples, and he didn't do anything with any of it. Boy, he did have lack. He had a lack of vision. He had a lack of knowledge. He had a lack of spirituality. He had. Can you imagine what happened when Jesus was crucified? I hate they killed that good teacher. Still not get it? Or he rose. He's the Messiah. Which way do you think he went? I think that it would have been worth noting if this guy came to repentance years later. But it's not. We don't know what he is, but we know that he was not significant enough for God to even use his name to even mention him again. But he thought it was so significant that this guy had such a lack in his life to mention it three times. So, with that being said, I'm trying to set this thing up so I can preach it. I'm serious. I'm just trying to set it up so I can get it preached. Jesus told him, he said, now go sell your stuff, give it to the poor, and then he gave him an invitation to be a disciple. I have no idea. My phone's talking, my iPad's talking. The Holy Ghost said there's a sale at Dillard's. Best Buy. Happy Meals are half off. Seriously, Carl? I've lost everywhere I was at. Anyway, Jesus said. In other words, Jesus, the man looked face to face with Jesus. And let me tell you something. despite what Oprah and every other idiot on television says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the Son, okay? So if you don't go through Jesus, you're not getting to God. Okay, so here the guy is, he's standing in front of the way, the truth, the life, has no clue. He was blinded by the religious garbage that was evidently, I mean, because one word from an anointed man, that's the most anointed man that ever walked, and had a conversation with him, and he still didn't get it. He still didn't get it. He wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to follow the good teacher and learn more things about the kingdom of God. But he couldn't. Why? Why couldn't he do? Why in the world could he not?
Where are we at?
There he goes. There's an invitation. Take up the cross and follow me. Wow. He was more qualified than Peter. Matthew was tax collector, you know. We had fishermen, tax collector, all kind of sinners, you know, everything. But this guy had influence in the Jewish community. He was a ruler. How big of a testimony would that guy have had? On the day of Pentecost, if the rich young ruler would have been there, how much further would his reach have gone? The problem is, he didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. Me and my sister were having a conversation on the phone this week. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to say anything. I want to give credit to my parents. My brother's a very, very successful man. And he's building a trade school in Kenya. Because he said, I just didn't see any high school. He said all the schools there are private. They're Muslim or Christian. And then the chances of college are nil. He said, I wanted to build something where somebody without having a high school education could go and learn a trade. And so he's doing it with his money. And they expanded it last year. My sister was over the Special Olympics for the entire state of Arkansas. Then she went over to North Carolina, then on the President's Council for the Special Olympics. All of us are civic-minded, community-minded, all want to help somebody, anybody, wherever we go. I never will forget, I preached my mom's funeral. And I said, if you've stood and had a conversation before a president of the United States and you're in this room, I want you to raise your hand. Three hands went up in that whole room. Mine, my brothers, and my sisters. All three from Castor, Louisiana. You know why? Because my mom and my dad made me a priority in their life. They made me the priority. My dad was the biggest soul winner I've ever met in my life. I can name you over 10 men in ministry today that never went to church, but my dad went and got them and started them in church. And he would go get them every Sunday, every Wednesday. He'd go get them. It's over 10 that are in ministry today. When you go to church and you can't let Clint and Katie do the job, you got to do it at home. I'll never forget, Izzy told me I needed to start coming to church. She had no idea I preached. So she walked out, that was her church. She just thought I came to praise and worship. She said, Dad, would you come to church with me? I said, baby, I go to church every Sunday. You don't go with me? I said, Izzy, I preach. Really? She was little. I mean, it's not been lately. She was little. You know, but that's as big as her world was. How big is yours? You know? Yeah, I preach, really? I mean, she was shocked. Shocked. Shocked by it. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about my dad. You know why I know what a good father is? Because I saw one. I had the best childhood of anybody I've ever known in my life. I'm sympathized with people that I hear these horror stories. And they said, do you understand? I said, no. But I've heard a lot of these stories. But I didn't. I had the happiest childhood. I'm going to tell you what. I wore out 2 horses and 3 motorcycles by the time I was 18 years old. I sure did. Wore them slap out. My sister told me that. I said, you're right. I did. And, my dad, he founded Bienville Parish Little League back in the late 50s. He was the founder of it. And, back then, you had segregated schools. You had segregated ball teams, everything. But my dad said, No. We're a community. We all going to play together. So I can remember as a kid in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, going to a ball game and there'd be policemen blocking our way to get to a ballpark. My dad just go around or, all right, we're going to walk from here, guys. You know, whatever the case may be. Or they call us and they say, we are not going to play you. Daddy said, well, the score is a 7-inning ball game, so you give up a run every inning, so the score is 7-0. We accept your forfeit. Finally, after years, we could go to the league tournament and play, and we win it every year. Every town in Bienville Parish had a ball game, and nobody showed up. And the town marshal came in and said, "They're not going to play. We're not gonna let blacks and whites play on the same ball field." Dad said, looked around at our team out there playing pitch and warming up. And he said, well, "I see them playing just fine. I don't understand what the problem is. But just tell them we'll take their forfeit. We're just going to practice here tonight." He said, "You can't stay on this field." He said, "Well, move me." And we practiced that night. You know, my point is, my dad didn't just take me to church and tell me that all men are the same. He showed me. He showed me that. He lived it. We went to, y'all know where Sharon's Cafe and Arcade is? Anyway, there was a ballpark right down the street from it, a complex of fields. And my dad, I had a buddy, and his name was Eckers Loud. And me and Eckers played ball together all the time, all the way through high school. And that dude could flat out play. Anything round, he could bounce it, shoot it, hit it. Throw it. I mean, he was very talented, and we'd been friends since we were just little guy before we were in school together. We were friends, and he was always coming over to my house. I was always going over to his house. You know, I mean, I was raised in Castor, Louisiana, and I had no idea what prejudice was, what racism was. I had no idea. Until I got into school. I was in the second grade, and I got in the first grade, and there, Eckers wasn't there. He had to go to a different school. It was terrible. And in the second grade, they started integration. And then I was cool with it. And then I come to find out, I was one of the few. But anyway, me and Eckers were playing ball. We were playing to the league championship in Arcadia, and Daddy gave me some money. He said, "You and Eckers go get a hamburger, something to eat." And so we walked into that cafe and sat down. And this guy came. The waitress comes over and she says, "You can eat, but son, you can go to the back and we'll bring your stuff to the door. You can't eat in here." And I said, oh, yeah, we will. I'm going to get my daddy. So I walked up and I told my dad about it. He said, come on, let's go get a hamburger. We walked back down there. We walked in, sat down. Daddy handed Eckers a menu. He said, what you want? Eckers didn't say nothing. He just froze. I said, I want a hamburger, French fry. He told Eckers, well, that's what you're going to get too. He said, I think we're just going to make three all the way. Waitress comes and said, Mr. Bobby, that was his name, everybody knew him. He said, you're going to have to, you know better, you know what we can't serve that young man, that boy. And he said, we'll have three hamburgers, three French fries, and three Coca-Colas, and we're going to eat it here. So he went and got the owner. And the owner didn't come out. He called the sheriff of BM Parish. Sheriff of BM Parish comes down. And I ain't going to say his name. He said, Bobby, I can't have this. He said, my dad was extreme when he made up his mind something, he would bend your will or break your neck. He was just like that. If he made his mind up. So the sheriff, it wasn't the actual sheriff, it was the deputy. Deputy came up, and walked up, and he said, Bobby, you and them boys are going to have to get out of here. He said, well, we will as soon as we get finished eating. They hadn't even got our food out here yet. He said, your food's not coming. And Daddy stood up and he looked at Deputy in the eye and he said, you go back there and you tell them three hamburgers, three fries, and three Cokes right now. He said, it's not going to happen. He said, you can take that order with your teeth or without them. I don't care. I was the first black person that ever ate in that cafe. I know what a father looks like. So it made it easier for me to become one. And it's going to make it easier for Joel to become one. But there's church-going people like that rich young ruler that could look into Jesus' face and not know who Jesus is and feel like they've got a great relationship with the Father and they've got to go through the Son first, and it's just not possible. Why? Because he don't know what a Father looks like. He didn't have a relationship with his Father. The Father wants to have a relationship with you. The creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with you. But he can't. He can't have that until he goes through his Son. You've got to show his Son honor and call him Lord before you can ever even talk to God. Your prayers are empty unless you go to the Father in the name of the Son. He can't even hear you. Can't even hear you. This guy couldn't get to the Father because he didn't know the Son. None of that's changed. None of that has changed. My brother, my sister, myself, we've flown all over the world. We've done humanitarian things and Christian things all over the world. You know why? Because our parents taught us to live a life that makes a difference. Live a life of significance. I thought it was funny, I'm named Paul, and my brother's name is Stephen, and Paul incited the riot to have Stephen stoned. I've still got it. What I want you to do is I want you to live a life that your children can be proud of. Then you'll be proud of your children when they get to be your age. You want your children to tell stories like I just told about my dad. You want them to tell stories like that to their children. And so on and so on. We don't want to just be drug babies, you know. We don't want to be drugged to church and made to sit there. We've got to be, yeah. You never heard that before? Oh, bring a deaf spirit out of him. You know, y'all never heard that?
No.
Drug baby. Drug baby. Drug every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday night. I got drugged to church every time. I was a drug baby. You know, I mean, I thought y'all knew that term. I'm sorry. Okay, that's what a drug baby is. You don't want your kids just to be drug babies. You want your children to be relationship-oriented, where they connect with people and connect with God. And when the son comes and he stands before them, they embrace him and not say, "What do I do?" They'll know what to do. They'll know what to do. I'm not going to get out everything I need to get out today, but I'm going to try. If I can see it, I can do it. Woo! Don't have lack in your life. Get what you have into people. That's what Jesus did. He recognized that rich young ruler could not do it no matter how much church was put in him. Church can't put in what that rich young ruler needed. He needed a relationship with Jesus. He needed a relationship with people. Let me tell you something. You know how most people find God? Through people. If you make a relationship with somebody that's going to lead you, that's not going to lead you down the crack road. Get in a relationship with people. They're going to do something great with their life. Let me tell you something. I tried to attach myself to the people that did more than anybody else in what I was going to do. I attached myself to T.L. Osborne. I chased that man all over the world. Because I wanted to see how he did things. Because he changed the world more than anybody I've ever known. I attached myself. I chased Dr. Carmen all over the world. When he didn't want me there, I was there. Get him to tell you about it. It's a funny story. He would go into the... He would change his seat so he wouldn't have to sit next to me. He upgraded to first class one time just because I couldn't get in there. He didn't tell me. And then God spoke to him and said, "Pastor that man." Been like that ever since. But I attached myself to people that made a difference in the world, not just in their lives. Live a life that's significant. Live a life that's extraordinary. Do something great with your life. When you die, people will say, "Wow, he made an impact on that community. He made an impact on the world. He made an impact in my life." 10 pastors. 10 pastors by my father. He wasn't a pastor himself. He just knew that if he could get in a relationship, if he could take them to a ball game, he could take them fishing, or he could take them hunting, he could talk to them about Jesus, and that relationship would take them to where they're supposed to be. It's just so easy. You be a friend and you show them there's more to Jesus than church. I had some work done in my truck the other day, and I didn't say nothing. I was sitting over there. Me and him were on the phone, actually. He was having a terrible day and telling me about it, and I was laughing. I get finished, and this guy, he just, they're talking about the presidential debate that was coming up, And I really didn't want to talk about it, but he did. He said, you know what the problem in this world is? I said, no, what? Religion. They need to get rid of all of it. I said, you're absolutely right. Me being a pastor, I can tell you I hate religion. He went, I ministered to that man right there. You know what? Church had hurt him. Jesus didn't hurt that guy. Jesus didn't hurt that guy. And that's the point that I made. I said, if you think religion is bad, you, me and you feel together like peanut butter and jelly, because I think religion is the worst thing there's ever been. I hate sacrament. I hate religion. I just want a relationship with God. And the only way I can get it is through the Son, Jesus. I said, now I like to hang out with people that are Jesus people. And most of them are at church. If they're not there, they don't want to be a part of the body. And anybody, I didn't go that deep in it, but you know the point. You know the point. But that's the attitude. That Obama, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, they're not the problem. It's religion. God forbid Donald Trump become president. Gosh, what kind of choice are we going to have? Here we go. Don't have any lack in your life. Give what you have into people. Okay, I've got there. Okay, go to the next verse. Let me see. No, not this one. Go to the one in Mark. Okay. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This guy had a lot, so therefore he didn't want to give it up to become a disciple. And right? That's where we're at? Okay, let's keep going. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Next. And the disciples were astonished at his words. Why were they astonished at his words? Because he had people of great riches supporting his ministry. This was a hypocritical thing in the disciples' minds. But Jesus answered again, because they didn't say anything. They didn't have to, because they went. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? Listen to me. It wasn't that he had great possessions and wouldn't give them up. That was not the reason that Jesus didn't make him a disciple. The reason Jesus didn't make him a disciple is because he trusted in his riches more than he trusted in God. That's what his parents had put off to him in church. What you can leave to your children, what I want to leave to my children is the same thing that my parents left to me. They weren't rich people, but they're the wealthiest people I've ever known. I'm telling you, I can sit around and tell stories about my parents, and we will laugh all day long. But I grew up in a house of laughter. That's why I'm so funny. But, I mean, they put into me the things that I needed, even though my dad died thinking I was going to hell. They put into me what they needed to put into me so that I could get to where I needed to be. And then they put it so much more into me that now I know if I can't reach people, I'm useless on this earth. If I can't reach people, I'm totally wasting my time. You might as well shoot me. You know, I mean, because I just send me on. I'm ready to get promoted anyway. Just send me on. If I can't get what I got in me into somebody else, I'm useless to this world. And I'm useless to the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. If your goal is to get saved and get your kids saved, if that's your goal, you're selfish. And you're probably not saved. Your goal should be to get everybody that you can possibly get into the kingdom of heaven and operating in it properly. Not coming to church and then talking about what you got and how God blessed you and blah, 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 blah. You know what the blessing of God is? The blessing of God is not a check. It's not a bank account. The blessing of God is to be used by God. Period. If it's in finances, that's fine. If it's in ministry, that's fine. If it's in the laying on of hands, that's fine. Whatever it is. But just go find somebody that needs Jesus, be their friend, and then make them his friend. Let them recognize Jesus inside of you, and then go on and you'll be living a life of significance. Living a life that Jesus is going to stand up and he's going to look and say, be like him. Imitate him if you don't know what to do. That's what he said to Paul, about Paul, wasn't it? Well, if you don't know what God will do, do what I do, because that's what God would do. When he said, be imitator. If you don't know what to do, just do what I do. If you can't be led by the Spirit of God, I promise you, he's leading me. Do what I do. I mean, that's redneck translation, but that's what it says. Am I wrong? I'm glad you said that. There are people that they go to church all the time and they're knowledgeable, but they get, what's it called? Paralysis of analysis. They can't get saved because they keep asking so many questions about it. They get into the Word and they have more garbage in them because they don't have the Holy Spirit explaining that or making that word become a revelation to them. They'll argue with you on the Bible, make you look foolish. There's people out there like that. I know several of them. But I'm here to tell you that it's not what you know that's going to get you to heaven. It's who you know. You know, it doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter what you give. It doesn't matter what you... Are you following? It's that relationship and the way that you're going to... If there's any parents in here, I know there is. In this church, there's always parents. We got a young church. But parents, teach your children to live a life of significance. When their time to meet Jesus is gone, there's people saying, man, my goodness, look at all that he accomplished. Look at all that she accomplished for the kingdom of God. Because it really don't matter what people here say. That's just for your kids and your friends and stuff like that. But when you walk into that throne room and God says, hey, good job. That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. No, nobody would help those people in Minden. But y'all did. Y'all did. There was people who had a lot more money. They could have done a lot more. But y'all did more. Now I'm just going to tell you something. This is by the Spirit of God. It has nothing to do with our message today. But it's for the entire church body. Do you know the parable of the talents? We've done more with our one than they've done with their five. Therefore, well, you know the way it works. You want to know what happened Monday night? I don't know if you're aware of it or not, because we really hadn't come right out and just